Well, welcome to the Repos and Unleash show, and we're here for the next hour. I'm really pleased to say that joining me, two really good friends, of course. And of course, first of all, of course, Mr. Martin Underhay, of course, legendary referee and manager, as you may have just heard as well. So, how are we, mate?
Yeah, I'm all good, mate. I'm well, and I'm ready to go. So yeah, off for another season.
And of course, the living legend returns. Man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Keith McMahon. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm good, Dave. Nice to be back.
Good, good, good. We were talking earlier on about these different teams, about who they got. So Chatham ended up getting Burton, so they're playing Burton away. So Morden and Tiptree get Port Vale, as I said to you earlier on. So there's a few decent ones in there, as with the draw coming through. So it will certainly be an interesting first round. But it's a chance for a few of the smaller clubs to get through as well, because they've got each other as well. Some of the non-league clubs. I suppose. One of the first things I wanted to speak about before we went into refereeing and of course talking to you, keeper, back Corinthian as well. You must have seen it, I'm assuming, over social media in the last week. I think it broke yesterday or the day before, that Clubber TV are now going to be streaming live games for the National North, sorry, not North, the Northern Premier League, Southern League, and the Isthmian Prem. I mean, what's your thoughts on it, Keith?
Yeah, listen, it's great. It's great for them clubs, isn't it? It brings them a lot more closer into sort of, any more publicity for them is great, and it's also good for the three leagues as well. Be interesting if they've got any financial benefit for that as well. But no, I think it's a good thing. Just obviously see how numbers go and take it from there, Dave. But I think every footballer at any level wants to sort of say they've played live on some sort of TV. So. No, I think it's a great thing to have a look at.
So, I mean, have you seen the statement from FC Manchester?
No.
They've already pulled out.
All right.
So they've actually put out. So it says, I mean, what they've actually written down here is basically down to the fact. I mean, I'll read what they've put on here. It says FC United and Manchester have opted out of the Clubber TV live streaming scheme promoted by the Trident Leagues, covering the Northern Prem, Southern and Isthmian Leagues. In all cases, we expect the Northern Premier League and our own league to respect the position this season and in the future. Non-league football is built on match-going supporters. Changing kick-off times to suit TV schedules undermines that the risk damaging the fabric of the game. It disrupts the routines and habits that generations of supporters have built around their local clubs. Travelling together, meeting friends and creating the atmosphere that defines non-league football. Moving fixtures in most cases will not help grow attendances. It will make it harder for home and travelling fans to attend, reduce volunteer participation, and impact players, sponsors, and the wider club community. It also affects bar and hospitality income, vital sources of revenue that help sustain the club like ours. We are not opposed to live streaming or the innovation of how the game is presented when used appropriately. And they go on from there. The Clubber TV have come back in and said, alongside the Northern Premier League, that's not the case. They're not going to be moving games.
Well, even if they do, Dave, I think last weekend for us just proved that it does work because we had the ground hop thing this week last weekend where we had to play on Friday night. There was a couple of games on Saturday night, a couple of games on Sunday. I think it was six games where the ground hops go random thing, and I think the attendances on every ground was like 200% better. And I think between the six games, there was like 3,000 odd people went and attended. So it does work. People, won't just sit indoors and watch the telly, but it's another game that people, if it is out of different times, people will go and watch it. Going back a few years ago, I might have half agreed with it, but now I've sort of seen it with my own eyes. I think it mostly will work.
Mine, what do you think?
I don't. I'm quite with Keith on that, to be honest. I don't see why it can't work. FC United and Manchester have got their own sort of like views and everything like that, but I just think we've got to remember where they are. Anything that if we can move a game that makes it can make it easier for fans as well, don't forget. And those fans, like Keith says, on the ground hop last week, they can watch one game there and they can move to another non-league game, and therefore that would benefit other clubs as well. I don't see too much of an issue, and pulling out of it is one thing, but I don't think you're going to stop. I don't think you're going to stop the live streaming of games. That's going to come in just like everything else has come in. It's going to move forward. The technology will move forward, and like you say, the league have said they're not going to move games. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, because when they've come back with a response, and they're not gonna do it.
So what's the problem? Seriously, what is the problem? There's going to be FC United fans that won't be able to go to every away game, for instance. So you know they might want to stream it on a Saturday afternoon or whenever they play. You know, they might want to stream it. They might want to watch it, and that goes for the same for any other non-league club. So,
Be fair, Dave, with FC United, it's because Man United are doing so bad, they might want to join up to that. They might get a load more supporters.
oh well, no, I can honestly say, me being a Manchester United fan, FC United, no chance. Even though I have put myself through the mill watching United, yeah, I'm not so sure. But I do get what you're saying exactly. Like, you know, but yeah. I think it can work, same as Keith, really. I don't see too much of an issue.
Well, I was just about to say, it's because we Man United fans know in 6 or 7 years' time they might be on Clubber TV rather than Sky Sports
No,
News.
no. If they are, I'll tell you one thing: the Manchester United fans, if they are, those non-league clubs will absolutely love it because they will still take 10,000 away from home. I can tell you that for nothing. So, you know, and that would be an event. That would be great. It'd be an adventure. Do you know what I mean? I mean, we've been poor for a long time now, but the old guard will always be there, and they'll go wherever. And hopefully, I just hope that if they do go through with this live streaming, that everybody gets behind it and backs it, because that's the way we're going now. So I just think that's the way everybody's got to just accept it and move forward with the times a little
I
bit
think
on
it's
that.
about. I think the. If I'm right, I'm and again, I might be wrong with the prices, but it's something like about £12, £15 a game, or about £30 a month that you pay for, you know, per month for the privilege of watching the games as well. I mean, they've just announced the Summer League today. They announced it's Bracknell Town playing against Gloucester City tonight, and then tomorrow it's Warton and Hersham versus Havant and Waterlooville. And then again on Tuesday, it's Poole Town versus Dorchester Town as well.
And that's next Tuesday.
This week, this yeah, so tonight and
Oh,
tomorrow.
and tomorrow. Oh, I've decided to take myself to go and watch Wimborne Town tomorrow night. So yeah, if those Poole v Dorchester, that should be a good watch actually. But those prices, I think they could start a little bit lower, if I'm honest, just to get it going, and then let's see where it goes from there. I think it's a little high to start with, in my opinion.
Dave as well. Do you think it was a bit? I thought it was a bit high. I'll be honest, when I first saw it, I thought, "Struth, that's a bit."
It does, but I think you've got to look at the costing, Dave, how much it might cost for someone to come do it. You've got to look at the quality as well. But I think if you go back a good few years, that's how the conference started, was live streaming, and then obviously it filtered through that all of a sudden TNT or BT at the time then picked it up. So I think if you know, it's cheaper maybe to actually go to the game than live stream it. But as you said, if you've got the travelling and et cetera, if you want to watch it, you'll watch it, won't you?
So
Yeah,
it's
you will.
£12.99 for a weekly pass and £29.99 for a monthly pass.
Well, if that's for the league, you can get loads of games. £12.99 is not an issue, is it?
Yeah, no,
Yeah.
absolutely. No.
So just on the back of that then. So we got £12.99 and £29.99. Now, Keith, let's just say you got Poole versus Dorchester. You're going to what if you've got Dorchester on the Saturday? Let's just say you had Dorchester in an FA Trophy or whatever it is on a Saturday afternoon. You're watching that Poole game, aren't you? And you don't have to go to Poole to watch it.
100% you are, yeah.
Yeah, of course. You know what I mean,
100% you are.
so there are going to be plenty of people watching that, as will fans of your club.
So,
No question.
if we can, then let's just start off then tonight with Keith, if that's all right, mate. And
Yeah, of course.
of course, mate, you know, been out the gate, went in out for a little bit of time. Now back in at Corinthian, it must be fantastic to be back in it.
Yeah, it is, Dave. Like I said, I was out for a couple of reasons. One, I had to obviously had the major operation on my leg that kept me out for quite a while. And then obviously when the sort of job became available, I spoke to the club, and it's a little bit of a different club that I'm used to, and obviously and the level. But I was sort of blown away with the club's ethos. I played from years ago as a kid as well. I'd say a kid, a young man. I was really impressed with what the club looked at as an ethos, and also the facilities they had there. The facilities, if anyone's never been to Corinthians, are unbelievable, for especially as a manager and a coach. I've got coaching staff, but to have that facilities and a couple of the last clubs I went to, we couldn't really train. One club was on a Thursday on a half a bit of an AstroTurf for an hour next to another team. So, we're very fortunate there. And I think with that, you're seeing a little bit of rewards starting coming through with the turning in results for us as well.
I mean, good, as you said, good win over Tunbridge Wells at the weekend as well. I mean, it's a great win.
Yeah, it's in the cup. It's been coming, Dave. We started sort of poorly when I took over. It's always been a club that sort of, that fights for each other. They've got a great team spirit. And when I met all the players from last year, the majority of them said they were going to stay. And so I was loyal to them and gave them first dibs. And we turned up in the first pre-season, which was, it wasn't the best pre-season, if I'm honest, because of the time scale we had to get players in and how many games we had wasn't perfect. Because obviously the scaffold league starts quite early as well. And we only had two from last year. Some didn't turn up, so I had to basically rebuild a side. And it took a while, and you're getting bodies in left, right, and centre, and we picked injuries up. And the main thing was, when you've sort of got a club like ours that don't pay, you've got to try and get the changing room right as well. And it took a little bit of time because we're really, really young, apart from obviously the two sort of you saw stalwarts of Jamie Billings and Jack Billings, obviously, who are obviously part of the family there. Apart from that, we're really, really young, and we've had to sort of nurture the lads, really. We've got a lot of boys with a lot of talent, but maybe wasn't ready to play regularly 90 minutes. And it's all right, certain the fans going, why aren't he playing? If he ain't good enough, don't play him. But it's not as easy as that. I've brought untold young lads through to the first team and beyond, and it's making sure you don't ruin them as well. And we've picked up some injuries, and we've played well for a lot of the season, but where their naivety and a little bit of mistakes we've made, we've just dropped points or not, or conceded goals at the wrong time, not scored at the wrong time. But the last 5 or 6 weeks, we started to sort of get a bit more continuity that, we're coaching sort of not on the mistakes as how we want to play. And if you was a betting man, you would keep betting 2-2 for us. But we because that's all we keep doing apart from at the weekend or in any of the cups. And we put it all together at the weekend. We won 3-0, and to be fair, that flattered Tunbridge Wells massively. It should have been double that. We was absolutely exceptional, and we had some great performances from the young lads. And like I just mentioned, both the two experienced lads in Jamie and Jack Billings were both outstanding too. And it's you when you've been a manager, maybe from as long as I have, you get certain hints of your changing room. And like I said, I've had a couple of great changing rooms at Thamesmead and VCD, etc. And this is starting to get there. We've got a couple of right characters in the side, young lads that, to be fair, even make me laugh when I turn up. Just like completely off the chop, but they got them to write program notes at the weekend. And these two, like, one's an eight, I think 18, 19-year-old kids, and one was funny. The other one you had to sort of try and put together his literature to sort of understand what he was on about. But but everyone loved it, and it's really good. So yeah, I'm enjoying it, to be honest, at the moment. Obviously, we did, I'm as frustrated manager as I ever was be with when results weren't going our way, because I expect more than what we were getting, and that was only because I could see the quality we had in training. But when we just moved on to the pitch, we got penalised a little bit for, like I said, for making mistakes or a little bit of naivety in decision making. But it's starting to come together, and like I said, Saturday just showed us just a little bit of what we're about and what we can do.
I mean, the game against, of course, the game that on the 3rd of October against Phoenix at Phoenix. I mean, that must have been an interesting game. 2-0 up, and I would have thought you probably wanted to put on a good show there. More than because of.
Dave, we were excellent on the night. We were excellent, and we should have won. I know Martin. We had two horrendous refereeing decisions. One right at the end in injury time, which was appalling for a head injury with a foul. But the conditions of the game, there was a full gauss wind blowing straight down, and we adapted to it so well, and battled and battled. And I was really pleased with that. We come off the pitch, I thought we were the better side by distance, if I'm honest. And yeah, didn't get a full just rewards, but I was really proud of the lads. Like I said, we were young. They showed in front of a half decent crowd there, like I said, because it was the Groundhog.
Yeah, 350, yeah.
350, which is, 3 or 4 times what the normal crowd would have been. Yeah, and we done well. And when you see things like that, you can see the guts and determination from the boys. You know that they're going to sort of, things are going in the right direction. And that pleased me really. That was maybe one of the performances of the year that really pleased me.
How many teacups did you throw though when they equalised in the 90th?
None, none, none. I went to see the ref after the game. Don't get me wrong, I'll definitely see him. It's just ridiculous. It was a head injury. We had a player land in the 6 yard box while the ball was ricocheting in and out the area, and he wouldn't stop the play. And then he tells me that he didn't think it was a head injury. And you look online, and the player's there laying down holding his head. And so it's, yeah, just unfortunately, the level you get that. So I ain't gonna go on about it. My foot on most of them are useless. But yeah,
Keith, most of them useless.
well, I'm not gonna lie, but no. But no, I'm only joking. Ish. But no, they no, like I said, it I was more frustrated, Dave, if I'm gonna really be honest about it. And I'm not sorting the ref. They didn't get what they deserved, the lads, because they put a right shift in, and that was more the frustration, that we should have come away with 3 points for the performance. And that was all really, like I said, you get bad decisions all the way through the season or in every game at the moment. But you just, that was more frustrating than what they deserve. Because if you'd have been at the game when seeing the wind, if you look at the video, all you can hear is the wind and the rain. It was tough.
I mean, and then you go like sort of 3 or 4 days later and you're playing Sutton Athletic and you do exactly the same. But was you running up and down the touchline? Was you at 93 minutes?
Like that fit day. We should have been out of sight. We were the better side first half, and as I said to you before, earlier on, we scored a decent goal first half. We should have come in 3 up, and it was one. We were 1-0 up, and then obviously we made 2 mistakes, and we're getting punished for little mistakes. But we didn't stop. We kept going and got the goal we deserved right at the end. We picked up a nasty injury as well with our centre forward Wasser Bassey, so which was a right blow. But it just showed that their never die attitude at the moment. And the one thing we've been saying, and this was Saturday, and which we've been trying, me, Miles, and have been trying to drum into the lads, was that they've got to have belief. They've got the ability, but they've got to have belief that they can start winning games. And that was that night. And like I said, Saturday was the you could see they had belief, because once we started getting in front, some of the football we played, and you could just see it just running through the side, the belief. And it was a pleasure to see, really.
I mean, you talked about that Weber on that third. I mean, I know I was sitting watching the game on the fourth, and you were sitting under. I was sitting in the stand at Waltham Abbey, and the whole roof of the stand was literally lifting up and coming back down again. And it was it that weekend was something special, wasn't it?
Yeah, like I said, no, I don't think anyone, even referees, like ref. In wind is one of the hardest things, especially when it is just straight down, and
It's horrible, Keith. It's
it
horrible.
is shocking, and like I said, it is difficult, but yeah, you just have to get on with it. And like I said, it was new for our lads, because like I said, we've got a lot of lads that are 17, 18, 19, and I don't think they played men's football in something like that, when it's also competitive, aggressive. And physical. So that will get a lot of experience from that, and they did, and I think it showed on Saturday.
I mean, with it though, I mean, when you get a win like that, are you surprised though that some teams sort of don't, I could put it, sort of learn from it and actually sort of put the ball on the floor more rather than start still lumping up in the air? I mean, I know the game I was at, as I say, it got to a stage at one stage where literally they were kicking the ball and there against Waltham, so it was literally left to right. It was coming across the cable shots pitch left to right, and they were putting balls forward, and this ball was literally just frisbeeing, literally going completely left and going backwards. It was
Well,
incredible how one would learn.
this was the thing, Dave. I went out in the warm up, and I see how strong it was, and it was blowing straight down. And I started getting like a couple of my players to take corners and crosses just to see where to set it out, because it was that strong. Where Phoenix didn't, they tried to keep trying to play football around the back. So we got kick off, and I said to the lads, and I would kill them normally if I said, if we get kick off, shoot. And we did, and the keeper had to pull off a really good save in 5 seconds to push it round for a corner. That showed our strength. And then we was all over them. Every time we got anywhere near them, 25 yards out, we shot. They didn't adapt to it, and sometimes you've got to adapt to football. And that's what I was really pleased with that game, was is that we did adapt, and we did try and play sometimes. But I think, it's either muddy pitches or whatever you play on, even 3G, you've got to try and adapt to the surfaces and the conditions you play in.
But was you pleased with your boys? I think we go back to that the Tunbridge Wells game, because you played them earlier on and got a draw. So was you really sort of like pleased with how they managed to sort of like learn from that
Yeah, that performance, Dave, was maybe our best performance of the year, the 2-2 draw. We missed a penalty in the 87th minute as well to win it. And we thoroughly deserved to win that game. And I put Tunbridge, as maybe one of the sides that were looking to get in the playoffs with the quality they had or whatever they've got, the facilities they've got. Oh, not facilities, the sort of resources. And again, that was one of the games where all of a sudden we started to show a little bit more potential, a bit more togetherness. And things that we were doing in training were coming off. So we knew it was going to be a tough game Saturday, but like I said, I don't think Tunbridge knew sort of how much we were desperate for that win to keep us going and or to get us going. And like I said, yeah, it, apart from even the Snodland game where we lost 4-0, we were right in the game till 70 minutes, nothing in it really, and had missed chances and had. And made a couple of mistakes on, like I said, decision making wise, where the youngsters are getting punished. So they, you can just gradually see. You can't get carried away with anything because it's only one win game of football. But I thought, you just get this feeling that your changing room's turning, the players are listening. That you get a little bit more togetherness, and that has certainly been the case recently.
I mean, weekend, of course, you've got to play Staines at the weekend in the FA Vars. I mean, getting your suit ready.
No, that's the famous geese gate, isn't it? They've had games that they their games called off because the geese rabbit poo on the pitch, wasn't it?
Oh, was that them? Right,
That's
okay.
them, yeah. Yeah, no, like I said, everyone wants to play. Dave, is this the funny thing? Our FA Cup games and Vars, we play really well in. Nothing like our league form. So it was decent in the last round. If we play like we did Saturday, I wouldn't have an issue of beating anyone in that competition the way we played Saturday, because that is the thing about the Vars. It is that level. But we've also, you can get beaten in it as well. So you've got to be sensible. I just think now things are starting to turn for us, that we've got to look forward to it. And another win for the club will give us confidence moving forward. And if you stay in it until Christmas, and then obviously you start seeing the numbers. Well, and you start thinking the lads have a laugh and a joke about it. I think they've done an interview after the game about going to Vegas or something. But yeah, we'll see.
There's nothing like the FA Vars, Keith. I loved it. I played in two semis, never, and I lost both. It wasn't easy. But to be perfectly honest, the FA Vars, the things that happen in that competition are incredible.
Yeah.
Just some of the stuff that's happened to me in the FA Vars, absolutely battering teams, and I mean properly battering them. Could we score nothing off the bar, hit the post, typical FA competition? Then they score a 35-yard worldie. If you need a bit of luck in that competition, but if you've got a little bit of quality, you earn your luck. You've got a chance in that competition. You have.
Yeah, that's one of not I'm saying my regrets because I don't regret my career, but obviously I when I won this league with Thamesmead, we sort of I think we went out in the last 32, and we had a side to win that easily,
Yeah,
easily.
I had the same.
Same sort of thing. We missed chances. I think it was Greenwich Borough going back there, not to say, and we should have beat them. And I haven't been in it since, so I can't remember how many years that might be, 15, 18 years.
Yeah.
So I've not been in the Vars, and it's a competition that, because you're at step five, that anyone can win. It's not like the trophy. You've got really not a huge amount of chance, unless I know some of the step four clubs have done really well over the years in it. But it gives you a good chance, and also to go and travel and play some of the clubs all around the country as well. So,
Absolutely.
yeah,
I
the club's got a buzz. I will say Charlotte, who does all our social media and everything, who, unbelievable by the way. It's another thing, Dave. She made a song for the club on Saturday through AI, and it's brilliant. I'll text you it. Unreal. It's unreal what she's done. The first thing she said is, "Oh, we want to go to Wembley for the Vars." So I did smile, but yeah, it's a long way off.
Yeah. I always remember in the Vars, there was one year when I was living in Torquay. I was playing for Bodmin Town, right? And this was, I want to say 97, something like that, 96, 97, 98. I was playing for Bodmin Town, and we got drawn away right to Billingham Town in Middlesbrough.
No, oh wow.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, Phoenix a few years ago had to go and play Bodkin, and then they ended up the round after at, I think it was North or South Shields. So they done both.
Oh my God, that is it is yes, that Bodmin, like Bodmin's miles away, right down there with Truro. And then you've got, like you say, North Shields or whatever. So it is incredible. And I remember going up there thinking, I'm looking at around at the team, knowing because I've already played in one semi by then, and I was just thinking, is this team good enough? Is this team good enough? We're good enough to go at least a couple more rounds, then anything can happen, can't it? And we went up there. And then before you know it, we're 2-0 down. And you're like, oh no, this is a long trip home. And then I got us back into it with a complete miss it that went in for 2-1. And then they went 1-3-1, and they weren't a bad side. But that was a long trip home, I can
Yeah,
assure
but
you.
I'll be sitting at Waltham Abbey on Saturday because they've got Chatham in the FA Trophy, so that'll be an interesting game as
Yeah,
well.
nice.
Yeah, but it'll be interesting. So I mean, with it though, Keith, I mean, what now? You seem to have turned a little bit of a corner with it. I mean, is it just a matter now for yourself? I know how competitive you are. You'd still probably sit there and say to me, "Look, I'm still wanting to get promoted and get into the playoffs and etc." Well, I mean, that sort of scenario with it now, is it just a matter now of just taking it the old-fashioned thing, game by game, and just trying to push the team up as far up that league as you possibly can?
Yeah, of course, Dave. Listen, I'm realistic as well. And like I said, with the resources that we've got at the club, you've got to be realistic. But I took the job because I like the club's ethos. Just to give the rough idea, our under 23s were our under 16s from last year. They just promoted the whole lot, and that's what they want. They want growth in that way, which I can get. You do need to learn, obviously, the football part of it. And like I said, in pre-season, we had I think we had 16 under 19s. And obviously Jamie and Jack, we've just signed a centre half that's also in his 30s now, that helps as well. We've got a few 20-year-olds, but that's what sort of attracted me to the club a bit. I wanted to give something back after the years, what I've done and where I've done, and young lads you can work with. It does take time, and I think people need to understand that as well. But I like what the club are doing, and as I said, it was good that you turned up. If you want to sign a player, you just talk to him. There is no, oh, will you give me an extra 50 quid or 100 quid? You're not arguing about anything. It is, do you want to come and play here? Yes or no? And I said, the facilities, Dave, like I say, if you've never been to Crimpfin, our main pitch is mostly the best pitch in the, well, it is the best pitch in the league, carpet wise, and maybe the leagues above. We've got another full size floodlit pitch just behind. Which has got a stand which is better than anyone else's as well. It's immaculate, which we train on. We've got a nine-a-side 3G floodlit, and we've got a nine-a-side indoor 3G as well, plus a golf course, which is quite handy. And then, like I said, we've got an indoor aerobic sort of gym as well. So all through the year, we're not going to have an issue to train, and that's a major thing. And we train twice a week. Everybody turns up. So it's nothing to do with money. It's great, the continuity where you've seen each other 3 times a week anyway. And all that was one of the big draws. And like I said, the club itself is run, family run by the Billings, everybody knows. And they're lovely people. They're football people throughout. They would do anything for their club, their team. We've got a lovely minibus. They call it a minibus. I call it a mini coach that takes the lads everywhere with GPS vests in so I can see who's not running, even though some of the little sods turn them off, I think. We've got obviously, every game's videoed and put straight on. So it's so well run in that side of it. You're not wanted for anything at the club, apart from obviously what every player sometimes now wants, and that's all he desires is money. But they make up for it in every other way. And that's the challenge, and that's the good thing about the club.
And I suppose it pressure on you now. And when you spoke to back down with them, what did they say to you that they wanted you in, to jump straight back, get back into step four?
No, Dave, like I said, it's I've you know what I'm like. I've got my own ambitions, and I want to win every game. Doesn't matter what it is. And it's been difficult. They've seen a side of me that maybe they didn't think, where I am frustrated, and I walk up and down the line, and I do say something, but I'm under my breath, I'm biting my lip, and I've got my hands in my head because I can't believe what's going on, because we make mistakes because we're young. But no, like I said, it's the club want to, you know when they're when we haven't won because it's frosty. Like it don't matter if you or you're under 11s. That's what it is, and I feel the same. I think they can see obviously there is, that we have got some quality there, and it's keeping them together. They would want to obviously go back up if they got the chance. Definitely, I don't think any club wouldn't. I think they know what resources they've got and where they can be, and they just want to see progression. They want to see that, they've got a very strict ethos of the club about bringing young lads through, and as long as at the right time, which we're doing, they'll be happy. Obviously, they don't want to get relegated or anything like that. No one does, and I don't. We won't do anyway because I believe we're strong, and we are going to push on, especially sort of, in the next month or so. We're going to keep going and kicking on, but they want to win. They're winners. They've always has been, and they're football people. Bond's the chairman. Still plays football now at his age on a Wednesday with a lot of players, and he all he does is want to win that. So, no, it's I think you build your own pressure within. So I want to finish as high as I can, and you're right. I am looking at the league, thinking, oh, four straight wins, and I'm right around the playoffs then. So anything can happen, especially at that level. Don't forget, I've not, I've won it. The last time I was in it.
One question, I suppose, is before we move on to Martin, I suppose, is the fact that with that spending that amount of time out of football, with your leg and etc. And I mean, you had sort of like quite a, as any manager does, quite an extensive sort of little black book, as I call it, players you can just get hold of and phone up. How difficult is that then when you go back in after a long period out, especially do you have to try and almost update that little black book, or how did you go about it?
Well, you know me, Dave. I watch games anyway, so I keep myself right involved. If you were to seen within 2 weeks how many players I got down to pre-season, we had 35 there after having eight in the first session. I'm not saying many of them were any good, but we just got a lot down. We needed bodies, and then obviously it took time to get where we are now. But it's just contacts in and out of football as well. I watch a lot of games. I keep my finger in the pie. I still watch, the Eastern League games now. I do all that. But yeah, no, it's not. I was out a year really for with my leg, so I knew what was going on. And also, it's nice to have a little bit of a fresh challenge as well. Some of the players that you might not know or dealt with. Especially like where the situation I am in now with the finances, so you are getting a lot of completely different players. So I've brought a couple in that I've known, and like I said, that part has been a real good breath of fresh air that I've really enjoyed.
I was linking into to mine. I mean, because there's been a few new sort of like refereeing rules this year. Have you sort of noticed, in many of your games, have you sort of seen, I suppose, the main one with the referee counting down and how long the referee, how long the goalkeeper held it for, and have you sort of felt for it, did your keeper feel for it?
Listen, another keep, right? But what cracks me up and people say about consistency is how different the referees count down. How some take 20 seconds to count eight. Some can't breathe in between counting.
Some can't remember.
Some definitely can't remember, obviously.
Referee,
Not in those.
you're gonna count. Oh yeah. Five.
Yeah, it's a rule. I get some of it, though, but it was a bit like going back years ago with a 6 second rule, wasn't it? It's that the drop ball rule is completely a joke as well. We had our referee on, I think we had one Saturday, he nearly threw it up in the air and like, oh, go on, bundle. But yeah, for me, I've got to look at certain things, and I think we spoke about VAR and that. Why do we have to keep changing rules every single year? What is it? What's wrong with it? A couple of decent rules going back where the goalkeeper used to be able to pick the ball up, bounce it, dribble it, pick. Yeah, I get that. And a few of the other bits. But we seem to change rules for sake of changing rules. Has it made it any better that the goalkeeper's being counted 8 seconds? Not really. To be fair, it makes them rush. And I think you lose a little bit of quality as well sometimes when you do it. I think there is a, that you do need to speed it up. But yeah, it just breeds to be inconsistent between one to the other, and I think it puts a bit too much pressure on the referees as well for that. That's what you've got to look at that are doing it, because some manager shout out, well, he didn't do that last week. He was more at this eight, or he's only just picked the ball up while you're counting already. He hasn't even like settled himself. But yeah, it's there are things like that.
Yeah,
I mean,
and it's
Mike, so before you come in, I mean, I've been to a lot more games this year than probably any other year, recently. And to be honest with you, I've not seen any difference. No, I've not seen yet in any game that I've seen a referee actually even count, when the goalkeeper's got the ball. Not
You
even
haven't seen
hat
that.
once. No, not once.
Wow,
Not once.
it's
And
amazing.
I've been to sort of like every sort of like Wolf Army home game this season, and I've not seen a referee once count. When a goalkeeper was at it, you can hear the people shouting and that, because the conversation between me and the guys that I sit with, and I said to them, I thought this was going to be carnage at the beginning of the season, like it normally is. First 2 or 3 weeks, corners all over the shot, and God knows what else. And literally, I've not seen one in all the time I've been sitting there and watching all the home games. And that's why I was curious to see whether or not you'd been affected by it yourself.
The thing I don't get, Dave, with the rule, especially if you're in a ground that's got a lot of people, how can sometimes the keeper hear the referee? Because you don't sit there like that, going there, and we had one going six, and he had five hands, and I was like, that's five. But at our level, you mostly can hear it. If he's running the halfway line, say there's 1,000 people there screaming and shouting, or it was like the other night, absolutely windy and blowing. Now, how can you then go, oh, that's a foul, you've had it 8 seconds, and the keeper will go, well, I didn't hear.
Yeah, but they know if they've got it 8 seconds, Keith, give over.
Oh, I'm not sure. I think you're sticking up for referees as well.
No, well, no, but they know if they've got, they know when they're taking their, we all
Yeah,
do.
well, they do know that, but like I said, there are times where some referees will give you a few seconds to get it, gather it, bring. But
Well,
you know if it's
he's
eight,
got
but
to get it under
it's
control.
like, if you're gonna have a buzzer, it's gonna go bzzz, and then also, or he gets
I mean,
electric shock and he has to drop the ball.
I'm not a massive lover of it. I'm not a massive lover of it, but at the end of the day, because in my games, you're right. People can hear you, right? So if I just let you know what I do, so have a look. I don't know what other people do, Keith, but what I do is this, right? So if I just stand back here, so when the keeper's got it, and he's got it under control, and there's no attacker going to stop him from playing the ball. I mean, like this, I'm going one, two, three into myself. And then I go five, four, and I don't shout it out. He can see me. And then I go, if they can hear me, three, two, one, and bang. And I do not go corner. So I count the first 3 seconds down here, and then I go five, four, like that. And so far, corners given, not one. No, I haven't given a single corner. I haven't needed to. The managers have wanted us to count, and I'm like, really? Okay, because
Well,
if
our referees
I'm
say they do count. Everyone I've
sorry,
spoke to, the referees that we've had all say they count.
well, I count, like I say, I count on my fingers down below for the first three, and then I go upstairs for five, four, three, two, one, and that's
You
pretty much
expect,
that.
but Mike, was you expecting more carnage with it? Because
Yeah, I
normally,
was, yeah.
when it's normally, we spoke about it on our show before. But I mean, it's one of those things where I just assumed, like any new rules that come in, the first sort of like month or whatever else is absolute carnage, and then it all sort of settles down a little bit. But it doesn't seem to have caused any carnage in anything
I
I've
mean,
seen, anyway.
not at all. I mean, goalkeepers know exactly what they're doing. Take a drink of water when they're having a flipping, when they're having a goal kick, and wiping their gloves and all this garbage that they do just to waste a few seconds, right? But we all get that. Everybody does it, so that's the way it is. But as you say, was I expecting a lot more carnage? Yeah, I was expecting a little bit. I was expecting jumped up referees in particular, jumped up ones that. They stick their black top on, and that's it. They're Hitler, right? I was expecting them to start counting the moment he's touched the ball. Eight, seven, six. I'm thinking, hang on a minute. Let him get hold of the ball and get control of it first. Then we'll count. But
Did you think it was needed though, mine? Because I've not watched games sitting thinking, oh, come on, keeper, you're taking the right proper PE. Most did do it before that time. Might have settled themselves a little bit now, but.
I mean, was it needed? Probably not. All it stopped. All for me, it has stopped. Is it shout? Shouting at the keeper, come on, keep going, or a yellow card from 50 yards away because the referee thinks the keeper's taking the mick out of it. Do you know what I mean? So I haven't seen a yellow card given so far this season to a keeper for wasting time. I think that's when it stopped, but I don't think, was it needed? Was it overly a massive thing? I don't believe it was huge, if I'm honest. But what it might stop is your Jordan Pickfords of this world. You know, who go down, keep the ball, fall down to the floor, muck about, have a little look around, and all of a sudden, what really should take a few seconds is taking 12, 13 seconds. Now, unless you're going to forensically time it 8 seconds, you can imagine what, because I thought what would happen is we'd have a Pickford situation where he gets the ball, goes down to his knees on the floor. They're 2-0 up or 2-1 up with 10 minutes to go. He's having a little look around like he does. And I thought what might happen was they get the 8 seconds and they go, and the referee goes bang, corner. Like, you know, and then they actually time it because you know what they're like on Sky. They'll put a stopwatch on it and it isn't 8 seconds, you know. And I thought that might happen and it hasn't happened yet.
So what's next then? Do we? You've got 8 seconds to take a throw on, a free kick, a corner.
Yeah, I
You
mean,
know, what's
how did it, how do
it
you?
speed? What's it speed football next?
No, I just think it was, if I'm honest, I just think it was just done for the sole purpose of the goalkeeper taking the mick when he gets the ball and then goes down towards the end of the game. I think that's the only reason they've done it, in my opinion. That's all I can see because I can't see any other reason.
But then they can get round that so easily if they want to do something like that, a goalkeeper.
Well, that's it. I mean, that's the thing. The thing is with the laws of the game, as soon as a law, new law comes out, the first thing any manager is going to do is say, right, how can we get around that one?
Yeah, we sorted out our end.
Yeah, exactly. And then Arteta thought he had it, like at the start of the season, with the first game of the season, by getting a forward to go across the keeper to stop him from kicking. So he's basically got hold of the ball. No, that and even that now. No, no, you can't do that. If you do that, it's interfering with the goalkeeper. So either the count starts again, or you just give an indirect free kick. So, you know, is it needed? Isn't it needed? I think it's a good thing to stop the goalkeeper taking the mick. I mean, let's be honest, Keith, if you've got 3 minutes to go of a game and you're 2-1 down and you're pushing, you're right on top there. Goalkeeper takes one like that and goes down and he's got the ball 15, 16 seconds. In your head, you're pulling your hair out. You know you are. Come on, come on. Because you just want to get that goal. So they will try it, and the other way around as well. You know, so and that's just the nature of the game. You know what I mean? I used to slow a game down as much as I could if we were winning. I didn't care what it took. So that's just how it was. But if that's what they think can combat it, then fair enough. But I haven't seen anything. I can't wait to see it happen. But I haven't seen it happen yet. But it will. It 100% will. It's just when, in what game.
Yeah.
So
I
we'll
mean,
see anyway.
how do you think the referee now has actually physically gone this season compared to last? Do you feel it's just on the same sort of level? Do you feel it's gone downhill even more than, you know?
I think what's coming to the fore a bit more is the fact that there's a lot more realization that if you get at a referee online, it is affecting them because a lot of them are coming out saying now how much the social media side of things, they do read stuff, like, you know, and how that can affect them. And the fact that I know of plenty of officials at the moment who don't like VAR. When I say don't like VAR, they don't like doing VAR. These guys are doing VAR, they don't even like doing it. They don't want to do it. They see their name come up on the VAR list and it's like, oh no. Like, they're not interested in doing it because of the grief and the backlash that can be caused. Now, are those same referees that are doing the VAR, are those same referees then going out on the pitch worried about what's happening? At the moment, some of the stuff I've seen, I'm like, it's almost like they're running scared. I don't at the moment I don't think the refereeing's been any different. I don't think it's been that great, and I don't think it's been that bad. But there are poor decisions and good decisions, like every single week we've ever seen. It gets highlighted so much on social media that it doesn't matter what you do, every minute frame of every of every game. That's the problem. The scrutiny is so high at that level that every frame gets looked at.
It does on our side as well, Dave, because like I said, every non-league club video their game now. So
yeah,
say
yeah.
you think you've had a bad decision, the first thing you'll do is you'll scroll to that minute of the game and check to see if you was right. And now it's been put on social media. So like you said, the referees will see it. They said they've made a mistake. So that, you know, is highlighted a lot more now,
it is,
even at our level.
Keith, you're right. You're absolutely right. The non-league clubs put it on there. And what the non-league clubs forget to a point is these guys are like level three, four referees. But some of the stuff you see, and you're like, why is this referee getting this? You know, he's not a professional referee and he's nowhere near it. It's literally his hobby. Like, you know, yeah, you might have made a mistake or whatever, but, you know, we see so many mistakes, don't we? All over the game, at every level, with everybody on the foot pitch.
But I agree with that, Martin. But the other side of it as well, with clubs, as I can say, man, they are getting paid as well. And you could say, Pete, but some of them are getting half decent money. They could be picking up 200 quid on a Saturday or whatever. So
you won't get 200 quid until you get to the National League.
Yeah, well, right. I'm just saying when you add your expenses, etc., or you do a couple of games. So they are getting paid as well. I do agree with you. I'm not attacking the referees because I've not come on to do that because, like I said, I've done that years ago. And no one listens. But like I said, but they, you know, as a club, you sit and think, well, hold on. It's like if I paid my centre half and he'd done it, I'd have a go at him and all. So they are getting some, you know, it's not, I'm not going down the expenses road anymore. It's more than that.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's just the standard. You're always going to get your standard match fees for games. A referee turns up. Now, let's just say you've got your VO above your head, Keith. Mm-hmm. Okay, you've got your VO above you and it's taking everything in. It's like Saturday, okay? It was a classic situation and this is the sort of thing I'm on about. Classic situation from the technical area and the VO above me, guy's gone through on the left hand side, goalkeeper comes out all day long from the manager's position and the camera's position, penalty. No question. Okay. But I was inside, okay, the line and I came around to the left so I could get a straight on view, slightly more straight on view of it. He was that far away from him. Didn't touch him. He went down. Good, fair play to the fellow. He didn't make too much of a meal about it. But the bench are jumping around and going mad. And to be fair, the bench were jumping around so much that when there was a stoppage in play, which there was for an injury, I just wandered over there and I just backed onto the technical area and I just said to the manager, I said, Chris, said he was nowhere near him. He didn't even touch him. I said, I can see what you're looking at, and I would be jumping around for a penalty as well. I said, but go and ask him. He'll tell you the truth, I guarantee you, because I had a chat with him.
But then that's good refereeing because you're explaining yourself. So you're not as arrogant, like, just to sit there and do nothing.
No.
Most managers would go, do you know what? That's fine. All right, I get that. You explain.
Yeah, I think a lot of managers would be like that, but that's my style of refereeing. I could see what would happen, though, Keith, if I be all arrogant about it and say, no, definitely didn't touch him, rah, 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 and my decision is final. If I say that, that's just going to rile the manager up.
That's right.
We're going to try and kill the situation. And I just waited for a decent stoppage in play, which there was one. And I just went over and said, right, this is what happened. Just to explain.
Can I ask another question? Because one of the other things that's been brought up this year, our level of football, professional football as well, is this situation around shin pads. I know someone's put on here Ref Support UK and they put on here, do you think their shin pads should now not be compulsory for an adult player? 53% said no, 47% said yes. As a referee, it's compulsory that they wear them, but do referees now not check that if these guys have got them on or not? Because, you know, you see, even at, you know, the top level, you look at it and think, he ain't got shin pads on. Or even when I sit down and watch Wolfram Abbey and one of them gets clouted and they're rolling around and they stand up and you think, he ain't even got shin pads on. Do you know what I mean? What do you expect? So where is that? And, you know, and I did read somebody on that referee support where somebody got a yellow card for it and stuff like that because they didn't have them on and all this sort of business. So the rule is there. Why is it then that they don't single wear them or they're like the size of matchboxes?
Why they're the size of matchboxes, I don't know. I don't know. I'll never get it. I don't know what you were like, Keith, but when I was playing, mine were like cricket pads, right? You know, because they had to be, because some of the players I played against would smash the living daylights out of me because I was quick. But honestly, I see the shin pads now. It's the two assistants for me. The two assistants will do the stud and jewelry check beforehand. But you got stud and jewelry check is just a it's just stud check in name, isn't it? Let's be honest. And me, all I'm looking at is it when I'm full official, for instance. I look at this, I look at tape, and I do look for shin pads. But some of them are like that, they.
Well, that's it.
Right.
I've got four players that have gotten that big.
Yeah,
And
it's ridiculous.
one in pre-season didn't wear them for a pre-season game. And I said, you're not going to play because duty care last year when I was at Phoenix with pre-season, we had a trialist. And I went, where's your, he was on the bench. Where's your shin pads? He said, I'm wearing them. They were these ones that big.
Yeah.
First challenge, snapped his leg, Dave. And I mean, snapped it. Right. And I looked and I went, wow. And it was awful to see as well. And I'll come back and it's the same coach Miles now. And I went, we've got to have a bit of duty of care here. I think there should be a rule of the size shin pad you should have because
Wouldn't be
these little
surprised if you
ones
came in,
are
Keith.
ridiculous.
Yeah, I can't disagree. Disagree with that one little bit. Everything what Keith just said is correct there, and I think there should be a rule. And I'll be surprised if one didn't come in because they are absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, I totally agree.
They don't make you run any slower if you've got a
No,
bigger
it
pair of shin
doesn't.
pads.
You know, when I was playing, I was lightning. I had flipping cricket pads on. They were massive, but I just blooming got on with it. Do you know what I mean? And I'm thinking. Does it make you that much different? No, does it, heck? But when you get tackled by a big, horrible 6'2" centre half, it might make a bit of difference then. You know what I mean? So,
I
yeah.
think the ball has to come in on a certain size. I
Yeah,
really
so do
do.
I. Totally agree. Totally agree. Because it is ridiculous.
It's just incredible though, isn't it? There isn't more sort of serious injuries though that you've just spoken about, Keith, as well. With
You
this.
do hear about them, Dave. That's the thing. But since some of them are, some don't put it plastered all over social media. But you even see, like, I see even just some horrendous, like, even like studs, Daniel. And you're looking, going, well, what are you, what, why? Why are you wearing, look what you're wearing. And some get away with it a lot, the seasons. But I think if you looked, I think you'll find that a lot of clubs have had a, they have had bad ones. I'm not saying a shin pad won't always 100% protect you, but it's 99. It's like not wearing a seatbelt in it in a car. It's just, not say you're going to go through the windscreen all the time, but you've got a great chance of doing it.
Yeah,
So
you just want to give your leg a chance.
that's it. As a player, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. I'm the same. Yeah, just got to come in. That's got to change. And I'd be really surprised if it didn't, because most football people here, it is, you know, myself and you, Kim, we're both agreeing. Do you know what I mean?
Well, the manufacturers that have done these have found a niche in the market. So they know some
Course they
players
are.
might look at it and think, do you know what? We'll do a cheat up here. We'll make the smallest shin pad,
Yeah.
get a load of money for them, and they'll wear them.
And the worst thing is, Keith, is the fact that if they do that and then they sell them and make the bigger players endorse them, little Johnny on a flipping, he was in the under nines on a Sunday morning or a Saturday morning if you're up in Manchester, right? They want to buy them, so they want to wear them, so they're not protected. So there needs to be a rule because he's seen Jack Grealish wearing them, he wants to wear them. You know what I mean? And it's not a good move at all. Not a good way
The
forward.
shin pad should cover your shin.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how what responsibility is there for these young referees that are going into just starting football and are refereeing these sort of under sevens, under tens, under 11s games and this sort of stuff? And then, there's a kid there wearing these little matchbox shin pads.
Yes.
And something serious happens. I mean,
Are we going to blame the 14-year-old female official for that, are we? Do you know what I mean? This is why I think Keith's right. We got to bring in a minimum requirement per age group or per size of person. Anything. There's got to be a minimum requirement. Like
you've got a
Keith just said,
duty of care,
encouraging.
Dave. You've
Yeah,
got a duty
duty.
of care on your players you're with, and I think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah. And like he says, protect the shin. Shin pads are there to protect the shins. So protect them.
There's a couple of people here online actually. Put a guy called James Stevenson. There's no limit. There's no law on the minimum size, so referees are enforcing the law. The problem these days is that they're so small and often hard to see on a player, especially as a sub is coming on. Someone else has put up, a guy called Paul's put law four players are responsible for the size and suitability. Another one's got here,
Awful.
players are responsible for the size and stability of shin pad. Law four has to be changed before the beginning of next season. Just what Keith said. He said another guy there, Ronnie Murphy, said a player came up to me complaining about a tackle, showed me a stud mark down the shin the other week. His socks were below his shin and he had a small shin pad on. My reply was along the lines of a proper shin pad would probably have prevented that, and I just walked on.
That's it. That's all you see. It winds me up a little bit as a manager that I could lose a player for a few games because he hasn't got the appropriate shin pads or whatever.
Yeah.
That is also it. And, you know, if you go back when you played, if you knew someone didn't have a shin pad and they were alive, you'd go, do you know what? Let's see how alive you are in a minute when I just stick a little stud down your shin. And
Yeah.
then, and it's you know, I just don't get it. I really don't get it. It's mad. Absolute mad. Madness as a player. It's ridiculous.
Is. Can't disagree.
It's just incredible. I mean, I've just literally just Googled, not Googled it, just gone on X and stuff just to see, what has been said on here, and it's exactly the same as what Keith just said. It's saying basically that the law has to come in before the beginning of next season.
Yeah, I you can't disagree with it. Yeah, it has to because they're so ridiculous now. Like you said, matchboxes, they're like this. And as a fourth, you know, when you're a fourth man at Torquay, let's just say I was on fourth man at Torquay United, right? You know, it's 4,500 people there. And then you check in, check in, check in. And I have said, mate, if you actually got shin pads on, mate, I said, yeah, you sure? Oh, okay, on you go. And I'm like, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I'm like, you kidding me? Do you know what I mean? I'm like, I cannot believe what I'm watching. Or what I'm looking at, you're going to protect yourself with what you've just put in your sock. Amazing. I'm just like, as he's running on, I'm like, I might be on the comms going, yeah, he has actually got shin pads on, whoever the referee is. I said, he has got shin pads on, believe me. I said, and they do comply, unfortunately. No protection, of course.
I mean, Keith, yourself with the referees, has there been sort of one overriding thing that's sort of got more frustrating for you?
Not really, Dave. Like I said, I'm a that's an odd moment, and just as much as I would do, but I think I'm a little bit more. You try and look at it a little bit more different now. As long as they, you know, it's the ones that are more arrogant that won't talk to you, that wind you up a little bit. But yeah, you just now you just you know what you're getting. You get on with it. Some of the youngsters are fast tracked, and they shouldn't be, and they need a little bit more experience. You know my opinion on the referee and academy. I've gone through that many a time, and the FA still won't listen and don't do it. So if you don't properly train referees full time, then you're going to get what you get. It's like, you know, if my players don't go training, then for the next game, then now they're going to learn. It's, you know, they say they go to the county once a month. That's rubbish. It's not right. So yeah, no, until it changes and the FA actually start looking after referees instead of just leaving them on their own, you know, they just pick money up and nothing will change. Nothing will change.
Mine?
Yeah, referees do get a certain amount of training. I don't think it's enough. You know, I think they could do a lot more. But that's got to be given to them by the FA, not the FA refereeing department. The budget has to be there from the FA to train these referees and be given to the FA refereeing department, because I think that's where they might be a problem, is the money given from the FA to the FA refereeing department so we can give the training that's needed. But then at the same time, these referees that have come in because, as Keith said, they want to earn a few quid or whatever. That's all well and good, but it should be mandatory to go to this training. You can't just rock up in a in a game against Corinthians that's involving Corinthians and oh, I couldn't go the other night because I had a family do. I'm not having that. Well, you're not refereeing for Corinthians then. Go down and referee that level. There's got to be a certain amount of commitment from a referee, but it comes from the FA as well.
I think it's
So that.
the cost, Dave, as well. Because like I said, my son's just doing his refs course. God bless him. Now he's been doing the youngsters, and obviously we paid like I don't know something silly, 12 quid for him to go to Dartford and sit with the Kent FA and do the course. Then we've had to pay 160 something quid for an online course, right? Online course. You buy your own kit, which was nearly 100 quid. So like your 260 quid, the FA need that for you to be a ref. Surely these online courses should be free.
I'm actually, I only found that out, Keith, what you just said, about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I go referee my games. I've gone up to that level and this, that, and the other. And when somebody said coming in at the very, very bottom level, ground level, and coming in and it's going to cost 160 quid, I'm like, I looked around, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And I'm like, so we've got referees walking away from the game left, right, and centre, and they're paying 160 quid. And I'm like, we must do better than that. We got to do better than that. And I have to agree with you. How can we not be giving guys? Okay, there's got to be a certain amount to deliver the courses and certain and stuff like that. But for an online course, online modules, yeah, they've got to be put together. But 160 quid, if we want to entice people into the game, like it might be an ex-player like myself, or it might be a youngster. How's a youngster paying 160 quid? And he's asking mum and dad, isn't he? They might not have 160 quid. Does that mean then that we're stopping? What about the mum and dad who haven't got 160 quid spare? Do you know what I mean? So we might be stopping a really good referee. So yeah, it should be a damn sight cheaper. I agree with Keith again on that one. Definitely.
Wasn't there a post out just recently that people were going mad about from the FA around giving away the courses for free for certain people? I can't think of exactly what it was, but I definitely did see something on there where they're giving it away, and then other people were saying, well, why not, if you're doing it for that, why can't you do it for like
You're always going to
basically
have a problem if you do that, aren't you? Because
like
that, like you say, if you're giving it to one person, you've got to give it to the other person. Just, there shouldn't be any. It's not, what do you call it? What would you call it? Discrimination against that person from that person. Listen, we're going to give a really good referees course. Let's get the modules out there, okay? Let's get them out there for free. See who actually is really interested, and then we give proper courses, classroom courses to people that actually really want to do it. Then we might, and then we start paying something then. Then we might start seeing a few referees that do want to take, or a few people that do want to take it seriously. Is this something I want to carry on with? And one thing I will, when I was coming through, we did the courses. Every day was a school day. You know what I mean? You always learn something. And I've come across coaches like Keith that have come in. They've come in, they've done the course, sitting in the courses themselves, thinking they're going to come in and maybe give it the big one or whatever. And they've learned so much, and they've come away from it thinking, actually, I've learned a lot there. I've really enjoyed that. And then what I've seen is people push, is those sorts of people, those coaches have said, maybe you should do the course from their club, particularly youth team. And then youngsters come through that way because you say, no, it's really good, blah, blah, blah. And then their club will put them through the course. But it shouldn't be 160 quid. Who's got 160 quid? A lot of money.
Absolutely. Well, listen, guys, time's run away from us. I've really enjoyed tonight. I've been the two old muckers back on the show with me tonight. It's been fantastic, and I hope everybody's enjoyed it at home. But we'll be back in 2 weeks' time, and we'll be back on the 27th with the Repos and Unleashed show. But until then, thank you for watching. Thank you to Martin. Thank you to Keith, and we'll see you again very soon.